He is faithful. Deuteronomy tonight. Just remain seated. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Tonight we'll be dealing with both chapters 2 and 3. And we're not going to read all of the chapters 2 and 3, but we will be preaching through those two chapters. So let me select some verses here that we can read and just get our bearings together on what's happening. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2. The Bible says, "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me." I love that phrase right there. "As the Lord spake unto me." Wouldn't it be a blessing if Israel always did that? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you and I always did that? Why did you take a journey into the wilderness? Well, that's what God said. Well, why did you do that? Well, that's what God said. Well, that's what they're doing here. They're following God. They're obedient to the Lord. Now, through that process, what they're going to find is that they're going to face battles. Look at verse 24. "Rise ye up, take your journey, pass over the river at Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, in his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle." Obedience to God doesn't mean you won't face battles, does it? But you don't have to worry. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, Fear him not. Fear him not." So there's a battle, but God says, "You're following me, right? Don't fear. Why? For I will deliver him. I will deliver him." Jump down to verse 22, and we'll complete our reading on this particular verse. Verse 22. "You shall not fear them." Why? "For the Lord your God, he shall fight for you." We're going to face battles. But when we walk in obedience to God, we don't have to fear, because he fights for us. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in our hearts tonight. I believe that we have something that's going to be a real help, because there's a lot of fear that hinders us in obedience to God. A fear of the consequences, the fear of the future, the fear of what obedience will lead us to. But I want you to know tonight that obedience to God is the safest place to be. Obedience to God is the safest place to be. And that's our title tonight. The safest place to be. Bow with me if you would one more time. Father, we pray your blessings on the message. God, may it be your word that strikes true in our heart. May it be your spirit that brings a conviction and draws us unto you. Help us to walk in a kind of conviction and obedience, because we trust you, we believe you, we need you. We pray your help in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Well, for those of us who were here the first time we started in the book of Deuteronomy, we remember that Deuteronomy was a word that was given to Israel right before they're to enter into the promised land. And it was given to them by Moses. And it was a kind of reminder or a message again to the children of Israel to help them to remember what had happened in Israel's past, so that they might learn from that and be on the path that God would have them to be. One writer said it was a series of farewell messages by Israel's 120-year-old leader named Moses. He addressed this new generation who are about to enter into the promised land, And he addresses them with what Deuteronomy is considered the second law, but it's more than just a list of legal details. Like when you read through Leviticus, or you read through Exodus in certain parts, or you read through Numbers in certain sections, and you see a lot of kind of legal details that would outline structure for the temple, for the priests to follow these protocols, which is really important. Deuteronomy doesn't roll out like a series of detailed protocols for Israel's priests. In fact, what it was considered overall was a message to the laymen of Israel. A message to the laymen of Israel. Why? Why a message of the law given to Israel again, a reminder to Israel, to the laymen and not to the priests, before they enter the promised land? Because Moses' greatest desire for his people was not to make the same mistakes that their parents made. His desire was for them to grow and to learn and to make wise choices that the nation of Israel up until that point had not had a history of making. He wanted them to learn what it meant to be an obedient children of Israel, to be an obedient people. His hope was that this new generation would learn from the sad example of the old one. So it's appropriately called by some in Hebrew, the Book of Remembrance. To many it's called the Second Law, but to many it's called the Book of Remembrance. In other words, it's a book to learn from the mistakes of your parents. I'm reading a book right now Brother Chad recommended to me. It's a great book, by the way. I'm just getting into some of the nuts and bolts of it. But why do we read books on parenting? Well, frankly, it's because we want to learn from the mistakes of other people, I think. Partly. Well, that's what the Book of Remembrance is. That Israel would learn to have a kind of obedience and learn from the mistakes of the parents. When you're a child, you're told by mom and dad, don't touch the stove, it's hot. And then you have sometimes that one who just has to do it. You have that one who just says, well, it can't be that hot. Remember when you came over that time, Ava, and we said, don't touch the fireplace, it's hot. And you touched it. That burnt your hand. Yeah, it really burnt her hand, left a red mark. It was a blister and everything. And so sometimes you just got to touch the fireplace. You just got to touch the stove, throwing you under the bus here. Well, it's one thing if that's the case for you, but it's an entirely different situation whenever you are the next generation of a parent who touched the stove. It's like it's like Moses here is saying, I want you to learn from the mistakes of the generation that was before you. They touched into things. They invested themselves touching in things in life that burned them. And it's going to burn you. But it doesn't have to. You don't have to go down that path. Listen, kids, you don't have to make the mistakes. Look up here. You don't have to make the mistakes of the previous generation to learn from the mistakes that has gone on before by people who did that, and they know where it's going to take you. You don't have to do it yourself to know that it'll wreck your life. You can make a decision, I don't want that for my life. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to have faith and trust in Him. Like the song, Living by Faith. I want to have faith in God and take steps in obedience to Him because I believe Him. And I not only believe God, but I saw it in other people who didn't. Whenever I was a kid, there was wires. My dad was replacing these this wall plugs, and there were wires that had wire nuts on the end. And I was in there. I took the wire nuts off. I was like, you know, I saw this before. I think this may be cool. You know, like whenever you have jumper cables and you strike them together and it's just like that spark. When you're a kid, that's pretty cool stuff. And I'm thinking, I'm going to do that. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to push these wires together. And I'm going to just see this little spark. And it wasn't a little spark. It was like an explosion. Blew me back. My hair was like this. No, it didn't do that. But I mean, I was blinded. It was so bright. That was a mistake. You know, I've worked with electricity a lot since then, but Brother Tim, praise God, I never struck wires together again. I never did that again. As a matter of fact, I purposed in my heart to not only not touch them, but try to make sure they don't touch each other, because this could be bad. Well, it's as though there is a nation of Israel, through the book of Deuteronomy, are going to hear of the mistakes where you had the nation in disobedience. Watch, here's how it works. Are you ready for this, girls? It's not complicated, but I really want you to get it. It's like you have this idea, but it's a bad one. You ever had a bad idea? Not very many, but there are sometimes. Guys, you ever had a bad idea? I know you have. So it's like a bad idea mixed together with disobedience. So on one side you have disobedience, and on the other side you have a really bad idea, and then you strike them together. Do you know what's going to happen? Not something super cool. You're going to have an explosion that's going to blind you for a while. And it's not going to turn out like you thought it was. Well, that wasn't as cool as I thought it was. And did you know what's even more amazing is that if you strike it together the wrong way, it could not only cause some blindness, it could really hurt you and even kill you. That's what electricity can do. Don't mess around with it. In a literal sense. But in a spiritual sense, Israel is these that can choose. Listen, we all have bad ideas, right? But we don't have to choose to follow through with our bad ideas with obedience. We don't have to do that. You don't have to follow through with what you're thinking. You don't have to follow through with the feelings that you're having, especially when you know that God is leading you a different way. And that's what the book is all about. Look at chapter 11. Keep your place in chapter 2, but go to chapter 11. I'm going to show you something here. Chapter 11, verse 26. When you're there, say amen. Okay, look at verse 26, chapter 11. The Bible says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." Well, what does that mean? It's the same for today. Look, God has set before you a blessing and a curse. The boys, you know, it's funny that I'm reading this right now because being home, sort of quarantining ourselves last week, I worked really hard at home, you know, but I also was able to be a part of the boys' schooling throughout the day. And I kicked the day off for the boys in their school. And I don't know, I just thought of this. I said, okay, boys, I'm going to have a piece of paper here and I'm going to write your name down for blessings. And they didn't see that coming, but I'm going to be watching for blessings. Can I say that it's okay for us to watch for good behavior? Can I say that I'm proud of Valley Avenue Baptist Church in a lot of ways because of the faithfulness that you have demonstrated, you know, even in illness, to either watch online or try to be faithful in your giving and be faithful in your Bible reading. I mean, listen, God is working at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Don't let the devil discourage you. You just keep going down the path you're going down. God's working in you. God's working through you. And we're on the right path. So you keep doing what you're doing. And praise God for that. And that's a blessing. And I told the boys, I'm going to write down when you're doing a blessing. But I'm going to write down when you're going to be cursed too. So we had blessings and curses, and it was funny because Andrew would come to me, "Dad, did we have a curse today?" You know. Well, that's what's happening here. He says, "Behold, I set before you a blessing and a curse." Look at verse 27. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A blessing if you obey. What about 28? And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after gods which ye have not known. So The blessing and the curse is very simple. It's obedience or disobedience. Go back to our chapter, chapter 2. Israel had a choice before them that they would obey or that they would disobey. A blessing and a curse. And the same is true for you and me because we're like Israel. We have a choice today. We've been emphasizing it tonight, but we have a choice today to believe God, to have faith in God, to trust Him, and to decide to keep doing the things that we're doing and to try to keep being faithful to the things that we're being faithful to because God's leading us in that path. And I believe God and I trust God. Excuse me. And so there's that choice that we would obey, or we can listen to our heart and listen to that tendency that we have of disobedience and going the other way. But I'll tell you that following God and being obedient and choosing God's path is not always the easy thing to do. Sometimes obedience will lead us into battle. Sometimes obedience is going to lead us into a conflict. And it's hard to do that because sometimes God's going to call you into a fight that you don't want to fight. God's going to call you into a battle that you don't want to fight. You don't want to have that battle. A battle with your flesh. I told my wife this afternoon as we have made decisions and okay, I need God's help because my flesh, our flesh is a powerful powerful force that pulls us away from God, isn't it? And you want to do right, and you come to the altar and you surrender to Him and you say, I'm going to obey you, but then that flesh gets involved and you get enticed and you want to, I'm going to make a decision about my cell phone, but then your flesh gets involved and you want to go back on your word on some of the things you've committed to God. Or you're going to make a commitment about your eating and then you go back on your commitment to God because of your flesh. Or you're going to make a commitment in your language or what you're watching or how you're being involved in these relationships and you know what you're looking at on the internet. Whatever it is, the commitment's there. Our flesh gets involved. It makes it hard. So when we choose to obey God, get ready for a battle. Get ready for a battle. You're going to face a fight. And I think sometimes those battles is what makes us afraid. It certainly is what made Israel afraid. Now you're in chapter 2. Look at chapter 1, verse 21. It should be right there. Just maybe one page. Chapter 1, verse 21. Look what it says. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God thy fathers hath said unto thee. See those next words? He said, fear not, neither be discouraged. Look at chapter 1, verse 29. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. And also in chapter 2, we read already about fear. Israel was afraid to follow God. Watch this. This is really helpful, I think. Do you think that Israel was afraid to follow God because they didn't believe God? Do you think, meaning that they didn't want to trust and believe and follow God? No. Israel wanted to believe God. Israel would have wanted to trust God. The rebellion that they had in their heart was because they were afraid of the giants in the land. They were afraid of the conflict. Listen, the battles that they were going to face. They were afraid. And their fear overwhelmed their faith. And so it is true that they didn't have the kind of faith that they needed to press on in obedience to God. But it wouldn't have been because they didn't have a desire down deep to obey God or to trust God. And I think it's often true for you and me. For us, that God would lead us, and our fear comes in and causes us to linger back and to fall back in our obedience to God, and we get convicted about it when we're at church, and we say things like, I hate it that I struggle like this, and I hate myself on this issue. I just keep waffling here and there, and I want to serve God, and I want to do right, and I want to be faithful to the Lord, but I'm the fear of just jumping in and full surrender, I think sometimes hinders us from being what God wants us to be, from taking the steps of faith that God wants us to take. Safety is a determining factor in why a lot of people do what they do. Let me say that again, and I need you to hear this. Sometimes our personal safety is a big reason why we do, or a hindrance, I'd say, reason why we do and why we don't do some of the things that we do and some of the things that we don't do. So then our own personal safety, I think, sometimes just totally rules our life. Now, I'm not saying that we should just throw caution in the wind and live without safety, but it's a big part of why we do what we don't do, our own personal safety. Well, I'm not going to do that. Why? Well, I just don't feel safe. And that happens a lot, doesn't it? We lock our doors at night. Why? Well, because we want to feel safe and secure, right? I know it was one of my boys that we didn't have to tell him, okay, so lock all the doors tonight. We just had one of them. That was what he did. He just locked all the doors. I'm like, why are you doing that? I don't want anybody to get in. Okay. Nobody's ever tried to get in, but there's that fear there, you know. We have guns. Now, for some of us, there's more than one reason to have guns. Amen? And I don't disagree with any of them. But I would say probably a priority, to have a gun, safety. And that's appropriate, isn't it? But it's true. Entire security teams are created for the safety of companies, of churches, of sporting events, work. We wear seatbelts because when we get in a wreck, we want to be safe. All right, we're going to get in the van. We're going to take a long trip. We're going to Oklahoma City. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. We're going to pray for safety. Walk down a dark alley at night. Who wants to do that? Yeah. Robbie wants to walk down a dark alley at night. I don't. If you had a flashlight, yeah, amen. We wear life jackets when we go to the lake. Why do we do all of these things? Because we're concerned about our personal safety. Israel here, do you know what they did with their personal safety? They put themselves in the hands of God. That's what they did. They were going to go into a battle, like a literal battle. I'm not talking about a spiritual battle that you and I face, or literal battles in some ways. They're going to have swords and shields and actually fight people, but not just like people, giants. They're going to face giants. And so they tended to be afraid. But in this sense, Israel put their, watch, they put, we're in Deuteronomy. We're in the next generation. We're not talking about those who stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. We're talking about those that are going into the promised land. And what's the difference? One said, no, the giants. The other said, we're putting ourselves in the hands of God and we're going to let Him fight our battles for us. So as the Lord spake, they moved. The Lord caused them to rise up. They rose up. You read all through chapter 2. God caused them to pass over. They passed over. God said, do not fight the Moabites. Do you know what they did? They didn't fight the Moabites. That's wise, isn't it? God said, I'm going to lead you into conflict against the Amorites and you're going to defeat them. Guess what they did? They went into conflict against the Amorites and they defeated them because they obeyed God every step of the way. They let God direct them and He guided them. It's a beautiful thing because they completely trusted God to help them navigate this process. They put themselves in the hands of God. Safety is still an issue. It was an issue then. It's an issue as they're taking this journey. Fear would often hinder, but when you're putting yourself in the hands of God, then safety is in God's hands. So you can move with confidence. That's true in our lives. Sometimes we decide not to follow God. Can you get this tonight? Listen, sometimes we decide not to follow God because we, not because we don't believe God, not because we don't trust Him or love Him, We decide sometimes not to follow God because we're afraid of the giants that we're going to face when we take that step. Now listen, does God... I feel a burden for the young people tonight. Maybe that's just me, I don't know. But let God work in your heart. Is God still calling young men to be... Look up here, boys. Is God still calling young men into the ministry to be pastors and missionaries? Let me say that again. And I need some help here. Is God still calling young men to the ministry to be pastors and missionaries? He is. God is still calling people to the ministry. Is God still working the hearts of young ladies to save themselves so that they might, as God would lead, serve in the ministry alongside a man who has surrendered his life? Following whatever the Lord would lead. Is God still working the hearts of young ladies that way? Yes. Then what will hinder at Valley Avenue Baptist Church one of these young men, what would hinder them from saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll surrender to the ministry that you've called me to be the pastor or missionary or youth pastor or whatever you want me to do." Because, by the way, it's okay to go ahead and say, "I don't know what God wants me to do, but I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do." It's okay to do that too. In fact, if you don't know what God wants you to do, you should do that tonight. Whatever you want me to do, dear God, I'll obey you. I'll follow you. I'll surrender to you. Then what hinders young people tonight? "Well, I don't love God." I can tell you, I think with fairly high level of confidence that each one of these kids, especially on this front row and right here, love God. And I can tell you they love God as much as I could say you love God. As well as I can know that. Well, they're not surrendering because they don't love God. That's not the problem. If there is a problem, you see. "Well, I don't trust God." It's likely not because there's not a trust of God or a kind of faith. What it is a faith issue, but what it is a fear. There's a fear there of the giants, the unknown. What's the future going to be for me? If I surrender to this now, because I trust the second law or the book of remembrance, the Deuteronomy of watching what God, knowing what God's doing in my heart and watching the path of people who don't obey God, and I decide I'm going to follow God and I'm going to surrender to Him. Ooh, does that mean no battles? No, it means you will face battles because you're serving God. And there's a fear there of the giants that you'll face. So fear hinders, doesn't it? Fear keeps us from surrendering to God. Fear keeps us from obeying God. And not just missing out on the blessings, but and bringing curses, but watch. Fear hinders us from being being on the path that God desires us to be on and becoming everything that God desires us to become. Giants hinder us from moving into commitment, moving into ministry. I'm just afraid. Pastor, I'm to be honest with you, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid. Israel was afraid. Israel were very afraid. But they trusted God and they followed Him. And do you know what they understood? What you can understand? Let me have your attention. You know what you can understand? You don't have to fear. Because every battle that you're going to face and you will face, God's going to fight for you. You don't have to be afraid because although you'll face battles, God will fight your battles for you. Look at verse number one. "When I turned and went the way of Bashan, Og the king of Bashan came out against us." Now I want you to make a mental note here because we're going to talk a little bit more about Og. Would you like to see what Og looked like? With a guy with a name like Og, you just gotta wonder, what does this guy look like? Is this like the Billy Bob of today? You know what I mean? Og. There he is. Well, this is the guy they're going to battle with. Look at verse 2. The Lord said unto me, fear him not. Fear him not. Why? For I will deliver. Look at verse 18. I commanded you at the time, saying, the Lord your God hath given to you this land to possess it. That's verse 18. Verse 22. And ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. They're going to enter into the land in obedience to God. And they're going to fight these battles, but they're not going to be afraid because God's going to fight the battles for them. And they're going to conquer the land. And it's precisely what they did. And God took out Og. God took him out. Og had no chance against God. Who is Og? Well, look at verse 11. This is pretty interesting. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not of Rabbath of the children of Ammon? Look at this, 11, like the last phrase. 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. Historians have indicated that this iron bedstead of Og was not referencing his sleeping place, but was a reference to his coffin. And so as they're looking at his coffin, the dimensions are given. And the measurements is 6 feet wide by 13 and a half feet long. 6 feet wide. Girls, I'm like 5'8", okay? 6 feet's what? This tall? 6 feet? That's how wide he was. He was 13 and a half feet long. That's a giant. And we're looking at his coffin. You know why we're looking at his coffin? Because God took him out. When you go down God's path and you're following God in obedience, you don't have to be afraid of the giantest giants in the whole world. God's going to fight for you. And you're going to turn around in obedience to God and you're going to see the coffins of the conflicts and the victories that God gave you every step of the way. The coffin of those who wanted to destroy and defeat. One writer said it like this, the Lord acted like a warrior for Israel. In the past, he would do so in the future, defeating a foe that Israel could not defeat. We have an old Nintendo at our house. Remember that? The original one from the 1980s? A little nostalgic here, right? So, I love it. In fact, this is the games that we play at my house. My kids are like, Dad, can we, this is, you know, no, this is the games we're going to do. These are good. These are the games that should be played, right? So, there's a game called Mike Tyson Punch-Out. Anybody remember that? Yeah, there's, you know, are we awake tonight? Mike Tyson, we know Mike Tyson, right? Okay, so anyway. It's a boxing game. And I remember I could make it to one of the opponents. Now, I couldn't make it to Mike Tyson. But I could make it to like 5 guys before him. And his name is called Soda Popinski. And he was pink because he drank soda pop all the time, I guess. I could not beat Soda Popinski. I could not beat him. As a kid, I'm talking about. And it was over there. So as a child, you understand, I never even saw anybody play Mike Tyson. Because when I was a kid, there was no such thing as YouTube. It didn't exist. Cell phones didn't exist, kids. They did not exist. And so, it was just sort of theory that Mike Tyson was an opponent. But then, like last week, the boys and I were laying on my bed, and I pulled up YouTube, and we watched 17 minutes video of a guy beating every opponent in the whole game, and he beat Mike Tyson too. And you say you watched all 17 minutes? We did, and we enjoyed it. You're like, do people really watch other people play video games and enjoy it? I did. I was like, no way, somebody can actually beat Mike Tyson. And then on this YouTube video, this guy beat Mike Tyson, you know? Well, think about it. That was like Israel. Israel is going into a conflict that they can't win. But with God, they could win. Not only could they win, but they would win because God would fight for them. And it was as though they're going into the conflict, but they're sitting on the bed and they're just watching God knock out all the giants that are in the way. And they're conquering the land and they're watching God do all the work. I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, that there's nothing like surrender to God. There is nothing like a life that is surrendered to obedience to God. Nothing like it. Well, I'm afraid, you know, for, you know, my life as I surrender to God and I follow behind God, you know, who, listen, we're talking about who these kids are going to get married to. Who, you say, well, that they're not worried about that. I mean, they are, you know, they don't want to talk about it, but they are. And maybe these guys aren't thinking too much about it, but one day they will. Does it matter? Does it matter who they get married to? Yeah, it really matters. And is that part of the decision-making process is surrendering to God? Is who you're going to get married to? Yeah, it is. Can I trust God? Listen, watch, girls. Can you trust God to give you the right one? Can you trust Him? It's the fear that's a giant that'll hinder you from obeying Him if you're afraid of that. Boys, can you trust God to not only give you the right one as you get older and you're choosing the path that God has for you to give you the right one, but that the path that God has for you, is this the life that's going to be not only the most enjoyable, the most fulfilling, the life that you really want to live? In that fear? Do I really want to live this life? Is this the life I really want to live? And you're afraid that maybe following God, maybe it wouldn't be, but I'm here to tell you that there's no life like surrender to God. There's no life like faith in God. There's no life like it because you'll go into conflict, you'll go into battles, but watch, God will fight your battles for you. Nothing like serving God. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. Proverbs 21:31. Don't turn there, but the horse is prepared against the day of the battle, but safety is of the Lord. When the boys were little, they were afraid of new people. I remember holding them in the arm. Remember that, Melissa? And they were little, real little. And we'd come to maybe my mom, and they hadn't seen her in several months, and they would hold on to us, and we didn't want to go to them. Or we'd come to church, and they'd see Brother Eric, and they'd grab a hold of us. Not really. And Kara and Myla. Kara, you know, Myla, she wants me to pick her up, but you know, Kara, she's a little bit today. Kind of clingy to mom, right? You know, it kind of hurts your feelings, doesn't it, Brother Tim, whenever you picked her up at choir? You know, you even gave her a cookie, trying to bribe her. Picked her up, she just lost it, you know. Kind of hurts your feelings. Well, I'm not going to give you a cookie next time, you know. I'll give you two, right. Amen. You're nice. You know, whenever you see somebody, whenever you just put yourself in the heart of the little one. And you see somebody who to you looks like stranger danger, scary. And you're just like, where's mom? Where's mom? And then you got to get in the arms of mom. And there you're safe. There you're safe. Listen, you follow God. You surrender yourself to Him. You don't have to worry and fear because you're safe in the arms of God. He's going to take care of you. He's going to give you the best. You say, the best? Yeah. Better than you dreamed. Really? Better than I can dream? Pretty well. Better than you dreamed. Brother Tim, did you dream that it would be this good? It's better than you dreamed. It's better than you could have dreamed. Because we can't even comprehend how good God is. How faithful of a Father He is. How protective His hand is. How much God not only loves you, but He wants what's best for you. My hope tonight, church family, young people especially, is that you wouldn't be hindered by fear, that you wouldn't look at the giants that you're going to face potentially and let it stop you from following God. If God's touching you, then let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. And watch, learn not only to have faith in that God has the best for you, but can we go ahead and do this? Take a chapter out of the book of Deuteronomy called the second, or rather the book of remembrance, and look at those who decided not to have faith in God and say, I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to believe God. I want to trust Him. Put yourself safe. You're safe in the arms of God. Put yourself there. Father, tonight we're grateful to be here, remembering the path of Israel, but also the confidence that we can have in who You are. You're our Father, and we can trust the path that You have laid out for us. I pray for courage tonight for these young people and all of us tonight who need to just surrender ourselves to You. I pray for courage that they would take steps of faith, saying, you know what, I've been afraid, but I don't want to be afraid anymore. Would You help them, please? Would You guide them? Would You give them courage? And it may be somebody just needs to come and do business with You. I pray You do that work in us tonight. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand.